I'm going to take you to a verse that you love. I'm going to take you to a verse that's one of my favorite verses in the entire 1189 chapters of your Bible. And you knew that there were 1189 chapters, right? You knew that, Sarah. I know you did. Praise God. How many of you know how many verses there are in your Bible? How many of you know how many verses? When you find out, come back and tell me. Okay. Shall we stand in honor to his word? Good to have everybody. Good to have some old friends. Amen. Good to have Joey with us. Man, you've made the last several services. It's been amazing. Amen. You're by the way, you're sitting with some awesome people there. Beautiful family. Amen. Praise God. I'm looking forward, Brother Dustin, to this baby dedication. Yeah, I'll tell you a little secret about baby dedications. I don't dedicate just the baby. I get into dedicating the parents and the grandparents, praying everybody through that's close to that baby. So we'll have revival. We did a baby dedication years ago. We had two people get the Holy Ghost.
I know that's right.
Come on now. God is good. You talk about dedication. Anyway, we're looking forward to dedicating little Tinley. She is so gorgeous. And she has a smile that could melt an iceberg. She is so, so sweet. And we're looking forward to that. From the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, again, I'm taking you to one of my most favorite verses. And that's kind of hard to say because there's just so many of them that speak to me. But this verse has just inspired me through the years. Do you remember this verse? Do you remember this? It's so full of power. Verily, verily, John 14:12. Verily, verily. What does verily, verily mean? That was not the name of a lady he knew. Like, verily, verily. It's an expression in the Greek. It's actually called the double amen. You know, when something good is said, sometimes if we have enough boldness, we might say amen on the tail end of it. He knew what he was going to say, so he put his amen on the front end. Amen, amen. See, verily, verily, amen, amen. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he that believeth, notice believeth is in that present progressive tense. It wasn't just an event. They are consistently believing on or in me. All right? It's an ongoing. Do you know that, hey, I want to give you something scary here right now before we get to the scary thought that I'm going to preach to you from. And that is your greatest blessings are not miracles. They are processes. Believe, he's talking about a sanctified, redemptive process. Whether you know it or not, God has you and me in a process, at least one, maybe several, right now. He is sanctifying us and setting us apart for sacred purposes. Oh, yes, he is. He that believeth, they just keep on believing. It's a process thing. On me, the works that I do, the works, we could say the miracles, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Isn't that a promise? How many of you have ever claimed this promise? Lord, you said. Well, lift your hand. Let's claim it right now. Would you do that right now? Lord, this week you said greater works, so I claim this promise, Lord. God, you didn't give us promises so we could just sort of look at them at a distance. You gave us promises so we could step into them in faith and believe them and act in faith. Praise God. Greater works than these shall he do. And then here's the part that I want to preach about that I just had to sort of marinate in this. I really don't have a lot to say, so he's going to have to fill in the gaps because I ran out of time waiting on him. I've got a few thoughts. But I'm trying to understand what his purpose is for. I want to preach to you about the last part. Because I go unto my Father. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Because I'm leaving. I'm out of here. I call this the ministry of the absence. The ministry of the absence. Never heard this preached. Never read it in a sermon book. Most things that I end up preaching on are not something that I read in somebody's book. His book is alive. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God. Let's ask the Lord to give us revelation today. Praise God. Lord Jesus, today, let's lift our voices up. Lord, give us something that can help us. Give us light. Give us revelation, Lord. Give us help from above, Lord. Help me to see. Help us to see. Open our eyes. I take dominion over any unclean spirit that would be harassing us. I take dominion over the enemy in Jesus' name. Let there be light, Lord, just like you said in Genesis. Let there be light in this house. Let there be light in my heart. Let there be understanding that comes to our spirit, Lord. Let there be understanding and revelation that comes to us to help us live for you a little better. Walk with you a little closer. Help us, Lord. Let's love him for a little bit. Let's just create a worship atmosphere again. Oh, praise God. Not going through the motions. Not going through the motions. Not going through the traces. Oh, but waiting on the Lord. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Thank you, Lord. We wait on you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Help me to understand your word, Lord. Praise God. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Would you give the Lord a hand praise? He's an awesome God. I fully believe that we are going to see the works of God. We are going to see the power of God. We're going to see the Lord do unusual things. He's done some unusual things in this house and things outside of this house. But I want to be in the middle of it. How many of you want to be in the middle of the move of God? Verily, verily, I say unto you, how many times through the years have I looked into this verse and been inspired to believe him. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. But here's the part I never hear preached about. Because I go unto my Father. As a matter of fact, I was here at the prayer meeting last night, and that verse, I don't know, it was kind of jumping around inside of me, and especially that last part, and I thought, hey, this, you know, this is wacko. Come on. Whoever preached on the last part of the verse? Because I go unto my Father. So, it's, you know, okay, Lord, just talk to me about tomorrow. Help me to be sensitive to you. So, we get home, I get my laptop turned on, and we're watching one of these Christian films to sort of relax, you know. Christian film, how do I know it was? It moved real slow. Let's just say there was something left to be desired. But it was still a great message. And in this film, a pastor shows up. And he quotes this verse. It's like, dude, what, how can I go to a prayer meeting And God begins to deal with me about a verse, and I don't want to believe that he is. And I go home, and I'm going to watch a Christian film. And in the middle of this film, this pastor shows up, and he quotes this verse word for word. Yeah. It's like, what? Yeah. You know what that's like? It's like, Lord, are you trying to say something to me? Surely that's just a coincidence. What is the coincidence? You know, what kind of logistics could you figure out of all the things that he could have said or scriptures he could have referred to? He quotes the verse that had just been addressed to me over at the prayer meeting. So, the ministry of the absence. What kind of ministry? It's like God in his patience takes our training wheels off. And things that we learned in the presence, he expects us to practice in the absence. When you can't feel, you know what? I believe that in his presence is fullness of joy. How many of you have discovered that? In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I believe that his presence is the atmosphere. He came to Nazareth and he could not do many mighty miracles because they were familiar with him. He had grown up there as a kid. You know what? If we're not careful, we can get used to what we have here, Brother Gary. Well, I know it's going to be rocking when we get to Faith Worship Center. I know the pastor's going to be lit. He's going to leave powder burns all over the pulpit. I know we're gonna have church, honey, child. We are gonna have church because that's the way it is. See, if we're not careful, we can get overly familiar with the presence of God to where when he wants to break in and do things he's never done, he can't do them because we're familiar. We can disrespect something that's always around us. But you see, he teaches us things in his presence that he wants us to practice when we don't feel his presence. I call it the ministry of the absence. He said, you're going to do mighty things. You're going to do miracles. You're going to do my works after I leave you. And you don't have what you thought was your supporting cast. I'll never forget Brother Cisco in his heydays was mentoring me in Wisconsin. And I mean, he was there and he was my friend and he was a voice in my life. And all of a sudden, after years and years and tears and cheers, he decided to move to Ohio. There goes my coach. There goes my mentor. There goes a man that was like a pastor and bishop to me. But he had taught me some things. And he is up in his later years. He is a great man of God. I don't know very many people that have seen the signs and wonders in their ministry that he has seen in his ministry. Like the kid that was hit by the bus that he was driving, that Brother Cisco was driving. And he comes out of that bus and the kid is laying there with his bicycle. It looks like a mangled situation. And he said he heard the words of T.W. Barnes come to him. That old man of God, that old prophet of God that laid hands on me in his office several years ago. When a man of God gets in trouble, if he'll call on the name of Jesus, he has the right to expect a miracle. That kid should have been dead. It looked like he was dying. He laid hands on that boy. They got him to the hospital and let him out of the hospital 2 days later because there wasn't a broken bone. There wasn't a physical problem. I want to tell you what. I want to see the works of God. I want to see the power of God. There are things that God wants to teach us in his presence that he wants us to practice in his absence or when we know he's everywhere. But when we can't feel his presence, can you still pray? When you don't feel his glory, glory. Can you still worship? What is your worship founded on? A bunch of goosebumps? Or is it a consecration? Is your worship a consecration? Or is it just a bunch of goosebumps and good feelings and flashes of fire, the supernatural blowing us out of our shoes? Or can we, when the presence of God has lifted, can we practice the principles he's taught us in the absence? Lift your hands and let's love him. Come on now, let's make an effort. Would you make an effort? Would you touch the hem of his garment? There are things he's talked to us about. Woo! Hallelujah. Wonderful God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. He said you're going to do miracles. You're going to do signs and wonders. The works that I have done, you're going to do. And greater works than these shall ye do, because I'm leaving. I'm going to the Father. Oh, hallelujah. I'm out of here. And in my absence, the one that you thought I had to be in the room, I will be, but in spirit, not physically. In spirit, I'll be there, but you won't see my physical presence. So in my physical absence, you're going to do greater works than I have done. The ministry of the absence. So my mentor left, and I felt a need to lean into God. Hallelujah. You parents, you know this. It's how the kids act when you're not present that tells you whether they have character or not. It's not what they do when you're looking over their shoulder. You know, you can be a lot of things when you know you're being examined, when you're being inspected. But oh, when nobody's looking at you, nobody's studying you, you're not being surveilled. But this is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, the psalmist said. Not because somebody's watching me. This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will. It's an act of my will. I consecrate my mind. I consecrate my volitional powers. I choose to worship God. Not because I feel his presence. There'll come a day when you've got to make up your mind. You're going to serve him come hell or high water, come trial, storm, clouds and lightning and crazy stuff happening. You're going to live for God when you feel him, and you're going to live for God when you don't. Yes, amen. I feel the witness of the Spirit right now. I wish somebody give me an amen. I mean, jump up and shout amen. I wish somebody would dance a little bit, because you've made up your mind. You're going to worship God. You're going to love him. You're going to live for him no matter what happens. Never cease to be tickled when I'm on the freeway and I'm driving 90 or business miles per hour. And all of us that are speeding, everybody drops it about 10 miles. I look to the left, and here's a trooper. And it's like those of us that were doing 75 are doing 62. It's the presence. Let me tell you this, there's coming a day. We're going to see some unusual things. And a few of us might not be alive when all of this happens. I hope I am. But we're going to see unusual things. But there's going to come a day when you won't have somebody looking over you. You won't have somebody calling you and texting you and emailing you and voicemailing you. But you've got to make up your mind somewhere in his presence, in his absence. When I feel him, when I don't feel him, he's going to work signs and wonders. He's going to raise the dead. Open the eyes of the blind. Open the ears of the deaf. He's going to manifest his power,
because you feel it, but because you're going to live for God no matter what you feel. Oh, I wish somebody would get happy right now.
I must calm down. I'm not supposed to get like this, am I? Woo! Here we go. Try this verse on. Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation. Work on it. There are days you will come to church and you don't feel like worshiping. So guess what we do? We just worship anyhow. We just go ahead. Why? Because he said work out. Salvation is free, but it takes some work to maintain. Come on now. Work out your own salvation. Praise God. Get up and work on it. If you're not close to God, it's your fault, not his. Amen. Draw nigh to God. It says in the book of James, draw nigh to God, chapter 4. And he will draw nigh to you. It means draw close to God. And he will draw close to you. Isaac Newton said, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Yo. Now, I discovered that. Good to see Chris this morning. I discovered that when I went duck hunting with my uncle and he handed me a shotgun. I was tall and skinny. I was so skinny that I could stand under a clothesline in a rainstorm and not get wet. That's skinny. I was so skinny I had to dance around in a shower so the water would hit me. It's important that the water hits you. And I squeezed off a shot and the buckshot went that way and I went that way. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. You could run down here and have the Holy Ghost in about 5 seconds if you really wanted it. You could be refilled, re-energized. You could make a consecration in just a matter of moments if you wanted to. Oh, yeah. Yes, you could. He's here. His presence is here. His call is here. His word is here. His blood is lifted up here. I magnify his name. I magnify his power. Or you can mess around all your life and be a goofball in the Holy Ghost and amount to minus 50 in the kingdom because you never got your head screwed on straight and your heart made up. I'm tired of playing games. I want to get after the things of God. Come on, I feel like preaching on a Sunday morning. We can have as much as we want. Absence. We were so worried. I'm almost done, I think. Thank you, Esther. We were so worried when Urban Meyer got suspended last year. Thank you, JJ. Thank you. Oh, you were just stretching. I'm sorry. All right, there's an amen there. I know you all don't know what's happening with the Buckeyes, right? I'm giving you a cover. But I was worried. Dear Lord, what are we going to do? I pray over those boys on a regular basis. Say, does it work? I've seen games change when I'm according to your faith. What are we going to do, Jack? What are we going to do, our favorite coach in the whole wide world, winner of 2 national championships, is now suspended. And in his absence, we won every game we played.
Okay.
That's right. Amen.
Come on now. So, at the end of the season, Urban Meyer, amazing man, hangs up his gloves, and I go to worrying again. Going to do in his absence. Oh, listen, sometimes God, oh, now I feel a prophetic word coming on me. Somebody needs to hear this. Sometimes God will remove from you what you knew as your supporting cast. And then you thought the miracles would cease, but they're just going to be escalated. People that you leaned on, that were your amen Charlies in your corner and had your back and you knew they did, and all of a sudden they feel led to start a church in Afghanistan and witness to the Taliban, and they're leaving you thousands of miles behind in their dust. And then you wondered, oh God, what am I going to do? Let me tell you what you're going to do. In their absence, you're going to practice what they taught you. In their absence, you're going to rise to the occasion. You're going to stand up and be one God, Jesus' name, tongue-talking, apostolic, rust-removing, carpet-cleaning, chandelier-shaking tongue-talkers. That's what you're going to do. God doesn't want us to soak in self-pity. Get around that weird spirit. Well, I don't know if I can do this or not. You probably can if you allow yourself the luxury of feeling that cruddy. I'm going to tell you a little secret. You see these two guys? I know where they want to be. But I have a prophetic word for them, and it's going to apply to some of you. Before they get there, God has so used them, Brother and Sister Dinkins, hallelujah, and in the absence of their grandbabies, whom they're going to see real soon, oh, praise God. But they're trying to stay on the perfect will of God. And they don't want to leave until they feel the blessing of God and the blessing of their pastor. Do you know how remarkable that is in the day that we live in? People come and go and very seldom ask for the blessing of their pastor. But that's how they feel. And they're learning things and experiencing things. I believe they will use all the rest of their lives so that when they leave us in our absence, the principles, the truths, the anointings, the things that God has given them will continue to operate in them. And they will be 10x more valuable wherever they are because it's the ministry of the absence. Come on, let's love God a little bit right now. Would you love God with me and worship Him? Oh, praise God. The ministry of the absence. Lord God. He said, oh, you obeyed, he said, in my presence, but now much more in my absence. And so, because football is my sport, I can blow your mind and tell you that I don't go to NFL games. I don't even go to college football games. I don't even go. Why? Well, it's just a little consecration thing. I had some old timers that preached truths into me before some of you were born, but I haven't forgot them. And in their absence, those principles still work in me. There'll come a day when you'll say to your friends, I remember when Pastor Matt used to preach like his hair was on fire. He's gone now, but I can't remember some of the things he taught us. Oh, praise God, to love the truth, to be a full-time worshiper. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Notice the term used, when the true worshipers. See, I've done a little painting. Yeah. I've done a little painting, but I don't call myself a painter. I've painted a house or two or three or whatever it's been through the years. But I don't call myself a painter, because a painter has made painting his occupation. It's his career. See, when he said the true worshipers, not people who worship just on Sunday and Wednesday, not part-timers, but the folks that have made a career out of worship. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship me in spirit and in truth. Not people who are part-timers, but people who have said, I'm a worshiper on Monday. I'm a praiser on Tuesday. I'm a worshiper on Wednesday. I'm a prayer warrior on Thursday. I'm getting in his presence on Friday. What are you talking about? People who are making a career out of worship. Anybody like that? I wish somebody would jump up and give me an amen with all your heart and your body behind it. Praise God. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Part-time. No, not part-time. I'm not just one who worships. I'm a worshiper. Hallelujah. I've made a career out of it. Praise God. It's a calling. It's an anointing. Every day he is to be praised. Every day it's a choice. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice in him. Act of my will, act of your will. Praise God. Whether I feel him or not, I will worship him when I don't feel his presence. I will worship him when everything's going crazy. I will worship him when everything is going sideways. I'm going to worship him every day of the week. He is worthy of praise. He is worthy to be praised. Woo. Hallelujah. Not going to wait until I feel his presence to worship him. I'll worship him in his absence. Though he's everywhere, if I don't feel his manifest presence, I'm not waiting for that. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, there am I in the midst of them. No matter what you feel, there might be days when you think he's gone. Go ahead and love him on those days, because then it becomes the sacrifice of praise. Then it becomes the sacrifice of praise. So I'm in that place. Hi, Chas. You ought to have a sign language ministry. I'm teasing. Love you. Appreciate your family and your daddy too. We're losing our coach, Urban Meyer, and we're losing our quarterback, who just broke about every record in Ohio State history. What are we going to do? You ready for this? In their absence. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to win every game until we get to the first loss. which I hope is next year. Praise God. But regardless, are we doing all right? See, the ministry of the absence, you've got to be able to get up and operate when you don't have a supporting cast, when your number one encourager dies or moves somewhere or, God forbid, backslides. God forbid, but whatever happens, you are for real and your consecration is for real and your commitment is for real, and it's not based on feelings or emotions or sunny days. It's based on He's real. He's true. He is all together lovely. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. You got to serve Him in His presence. You got to serve Him when it feels like He's absent. Woo! Man, I feel a witness. If you think the Holy Ghost is trying to talk to you, jump up to your feet, lift up your hands, and claim His word, claim light, claim encouragement, claim the touch of God, claim the anointing of God. Hallelujah. I praise You, Lord, in Jesus' name. I worship You. Oh, I worship You. You are good on great days. You are good on bad days. You are victorious on sunny days. You are victorious in a winter's blizzard. Oh, yes. Yes, You are. Don't base your victory on surrounding circumstances. Don't base your victory and your joy on surrounding environs. You'll always be just shifty and make-believe and unstable. He didn't call us to be make-believers. He called us to be believers. Woo! Listen to this. I was trying to figure out, Lord, what is the burden of Your word? I think I feel it now. For those that maybe you felt in unsteadiness, just know this. God's not given up on you ever. How could we? God's not given up on you. On tough days, yeah, on terrible years, He's not throwing you away. People get good at that. His hands on you. Listen to this. John 11, verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And then verse 15, and I am glad. What a combination of words. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. Why would that ever occur in the scripture? Because there's more here. He said, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto Him. What was He saying? In my absence, He waited a day or two or whatever, and by the time He got over there, the man had been dead about 4 days. And guess what? Guess what? The Jews had a tradition that after 4 days, a person's spirit, it would hover over them in their death. And then on the fourth day, it would leave the body totally. And so he waited till men said, it's all over. It's really all over. Hallelujah. He said, I'm glad I wasn't there. I blessed him with my absence. Amen, but we're going over there. And when he got there and he said to Lazarus, come forth. If he had just said, come forth, all the graves would have opened. We would have had a wholesale resurrection. So he had to focus it. He had to articulate a specific resurrection. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead. Oh, I love the way it reads. And he that was dead came forth from the tomb. But he was bound. He was bound. His legs, his feet, he was basically mummified. And so the only way that he got to that opening of the tomb, he had to fly. Could I tell you that God's picked up our tickets? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
at the sound of the trump of God. We shall be changed. This mortality shall put on immortality. Hallelujah. We shall be caught up with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He's already paid for your flight. He's already paid for your flight. Come on now. As Brother Thad comes, in the name of Jesus, somebody's left your life. Let it go. Let it go and let them go. Let's come on into your future. Sometimes in the absence of somebody you depended upon, God reestablishes his power, his strength, and his grace in your life. Come on, let him go. Let him go. Come on into your future. Come on into your future. Walk on into what God has for you right now. Oh, praise God. Greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto Father. Oh my, in a day when you feel like everybody's left you, everybody's just walked away from you, I've got good news for you. In their absence, God will do a new work in you. In their absence, God will heal your heart. In their absence, God will heal your mind. It's the ministry of the presence, and it's the ministry of the absence. Oh my. In Jesus' name, I'm going to open this altar. You could be healed in moments. Even before you get to the front, you could be healed in Jesus' name. Easy for God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let healing flow in this house. Let the past go. Put it under the blood. Put it under the blood. Forgive people. Forgive people. Forgive people. Hallelujah. The ministry of the absence. There's people that are gone. That's okay. He's here. He's present. Oh my. Woo! I'm going to ask you to come with some faith today. Come, hallelujah, worship on the Lord. Are you a full-time worshiper? Are you a full-time worshiper? Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, there's a new coach in town. Come on, coach me, Jesus. There's a new quarterback in town. Come on, quarterback Jesus. Come on, coach Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Coach me now. Help me now. He'll bless you in his presence. He'll anoint you in what you thought was his absence. Oh, come on now. What an awesome God. Hallelujah. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Oh, yeah. He wants to heal somebody's heart. Hallelujah. He wants to heal somebody's heart. Amen. Pray over these precious hearts around the front. Yes, God. In Jesus' name, he loves you on your worst day. He loves you when you feel like you've been thrown away. He's welcoming you into a new beginning, a new anointing. Hallelujah. A new fruitfulness. Oh, yes, God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord, in the ministry, Lord, of the absence, and in the ministry of the presence, Lord, let us be found faithful and consecrated to you. Would you reach over and pray a blessing on somebody? Would you reach over and pray a blessing? Somebody hurt you. They probably didn't even mean to. I promise you, they probably didn't even mean to. Just a bunch of human beings trying to get to heaven. Oh, God, right now, in our humanness, Lord, in our brokenness, Lord. Oh, God, in our brokenness, in our frailty, Oh, Jesus. Pour in wine and oil. Pour in wine and oil. God. Hallelujah. God, stripped away your training wheels. He took off your training wheels, not to hurt you, but so you would learn balance for yourself. Oh, he stripped away your supporting cast so you would learn how to walk with him. Your own walk, your own signature, your own prayer life, your own faith. He is a developing your own faith, your own character. He is developing in what seemed to be absence. He's developing a ministry in you. Hallelujah. Oh, let's send forgiveness to people. Hallelujah. Yes, God. I release forgiveness. Would you pray this with me, Lord? We release forgiveness. Hallelujah. Freely. Lord, you forgave us. Every day you give us mercy. Help us to give it away to others. Freely. Help us not to charge anybody for what we got free. Oh, hallelujah. The ministry of the absence. You thought your help had vacated. You thought your Amen Charlie had given up on you. And in the middle of all that, God says, I want to come and heal your heart. I want to heal your heart. I want to take the scaffolding down. And I want you to stand on your own two feet. I've never preached this thought in my life. I've never heard it preached. I'm just telling you. I'm just trying to be obedient to God. Lord Jesus, I receive it. Lord, I receive your word. Would you tell him that? I receive your word, Lord. I'm not by myself. You are here. Woo! I'm a part of a family in God. Yeah. He's not giving up on me. He'd never do that. Wonderful God. I hate sometimes going to conferences because sometimes you see people, especially if it's a general conference, and you see people and you don't know how they're going to greet you or if they remember you or. And we decided after 9 years to go to General Conference. Used to make everyone every year for years and years and years. I don't mind telling you that people treated us like celebrities. They loved on us and they hugged on us and they stood in line to talk to us. I'd never be worthy of that. I would never be worthy of that. When we opened our door, there were flowers and symbols and blankets and things left at our house. But I belong to a family, the family of God, and it's real. And I have a fresh revelation on how important having a family in God is. Would you lift your hand and let's thank him as we gently move toward Thanksgiving week. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. I worship you. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. He said, you're going to do many mighty works. Uh-huh. But he said, I'm going. And as I step back, there's going to be a release of miracles in your life. And you will minister in my absence in greater power than you did in my presence. Figure that one out. I don't fully get it. I just know that sometimes the scaffolding has to come down. And we have got to grow up. Maturity. This is my favorite definition of maturity.
maturity is when you produce more than you consume. If we're not careful, we can become professional consumers. Feed me one more message. Give me one more church service. He wants me to be a producer. He's calling us to minister in his presence and minister when we don't feel his presence. Come on, Brother Dinkins, would you stand by me? Come on, Sister Meadows, would you stand on